I want to welcome everybody again to church and to Sunday, and for those listening online as well, just want to say welcome, and why don't we open up with a word of prayer. Father, as we get into the message today, as we've been in a time of prayer, in a time of worship, I pray that you would just surround those that are really hurting today, those that are really in need today. Lord, would you just speak into their lives and into their hearts with your truth today? I pray you'd surround each one of them with other believers, with your spirit, God, just to fill them, to comfort them, to give them hope and grace and mercy. And Lord, just pray that our ears would be open and our minds would be open to what you're doing, to hear what you're saying this morning, God. And we thank you for the time here in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, we looked at the idea of time. And we looked at time as from two different perspectives, from the temporal sense, meaning the earthly sense of time. And we looked at it from the spiritual sense. And from an earthly sense, time is a limited resource. We all just have this certain amount, and we use it the best that we can. But in the spiritual realm, time is limitless. Time is not understood the way that we understand it with this finite linear sense that we have here on earth. And so we talked about how to make the most of our days because our time is limited. And we looked at three ways of how we would use our time. One was we looked at it like it was a currency. How would we spend our time? And second, we looked at how we might invest our time for the future, not just how we spend it today, but in what ways are we taking that so that it will pay dividends down the road. And then third, we looked at time as a gift. How can we give time to other people? It's such a precious, limited resource. How can we be giving of our time the way that God is giving with us time? And so today, I want to look at another resource that shares a lot of the same kind of properties as time, but is used in an entirely different way. Today, we're going to look at the idea of energy. Now, if you look around, we just take a look at everything that's around us, almost everything that we see in some way or another is consuming energy. We drove here in cars, energy. We got out of the car, we used energy. As we're doing things like moving heads and hands and all of this as we speak, as we think, all of this is consuming energy. Everything requires it. Every movement, every action, even things that don't seem like they would, like sleeping, consumes energy. Like time, every single moment is using it up. Everything we do is using that and consuming energy. But like time, energy has limited and limitless resources. One of the first laws that we learn about energy is that energy cannot be created, right, or destroyed. It is simply transformed. It is reapplied and moved around. And so in a sense, energy is limitless in that idea. However, we can run out of energy. We can use up energy as it's transferred from ourselves to other things or from one to another. We have limited sources of energy on the earth in things like fossil fuels. But we have limitless sources of energy that we try to harness in things like wind energy, solar energy, and hydroelectric energy. These things properly harnessed can fuel the whole world, all of the different things that we need. And we're just beginning to really use those ideas. Even our bodies convert, harness energy. We're actually very efficient at it, very effective at it. One of my favorite ways to convert and harness energy is coffee. I harness a lot of energy through that. I feel like sometimes that's what's keeping me going is coffee. But everything we consume, food and drink and all of these things, we take into our body, and our body very efficiently converts it into energy. It powers us through the days. It powers all the different activities and responsibilities that we have. In fact, when you look at a label on food or drink and it has a number that actually tells you how much energy this will have, it's called a calorie. You see, we need these food, this energy. We have to have it because food is fuel. It powers us. And what we put in then really matters. I know a while back I went to buy a car. And when I was going to get the car, I had a couple of choices. This is a long time ago, more than 10 years ago. And I had two choices on used cars. One of them was a standard model car, and the other was one of the super high output ones, like a sports version of the car. And the reason I didn't get the sports version of the car is because it required high octane fuel. Required, you know, you go to the gas pump, there's three types of fuel. You have the 87, 89, and I forget what it even is because I don't put it in. 90, is that right? 93. I may have gotten the other ones wrong too. I don't pay it. I put the lowest one in my car. But the difference is those high performance vehicles need a high performance fuel. Think about a jet. You can't put gasoline in a jet. You put jet fuel in a jet. Why? Because it needs to get a lot of stuff moving. There's a lot of stuff happening. What you put in matters because of what you're going to power. What you have to accomplish requires the right amount of fuel, the right amount of converted energy to be able to make those kind of things happen. Some of us are living lives that need jet fuel. At different points in our lives, we need a different amount of energy, a different amount of fuel to accomplish the things that God's given us to do in this season. Maybe we're in a season where we need that low octane, where we can just kind of relax for a little. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But maybe God's really got you moving. You've got a lot going on. The type of fuel you're going to put in is going to get you through that next season. You put the wrong kind of fuel in, you don't have enough power to accomplish the things that you feel like you need to do. The thing I love about my car, though, is it has a little fuel indicator light that comes on. It says low fuel. Before they came out with those, I would run out of gas. Oh, I was so bad at paying attention to when I was low on gas. Now it's done for you. Every time I get in, it's this big bright light. Don't you wish you had that in your life? Don't you wish you had like a low fuel light that said, you're running low, go and fill up? It doesn't work that way, does it? I mean, in a way we kind of do in that, like, unlike time, I mean, time passes and we don't notice. We feel physically the passing of energy through our body, right? I mean, if you've ever exerted yourself going out and maybe exercising or going and doing a lot of tasks, we heard from someone this morning that's going to go out on a mission trip, and this is going to be a lot of energy that's expended. You feel that in a very physical way. We all experience it differently, but I think we can all relate to these things, feeling tired, overwhelmed, exhausted, maybe even irritable. Have you ever been there? I mean, you can try catching up on sleep. That's a good start. You can try to eat better. That's good. Exercise. I asked my daughter this morning, she was so clear with this. I asked her, she asked me if she could help write the sermon, and I said, well, that depends. I said, what do you know? I said, we're going to talk about energy. And she said, I said, what do you know about energy? And she said, well, we go out and we exercise and we use the energy so we can get stronger. And in the same way, we pray and it makes us stronger with God. I was really encouraged by that. I thought that was very clear and very concise. One of the things that we can also do is that we can take our rest really seriously. There are lots of things we can try, and there's lots of things we should try. But there's no escaping from the fact that everything we do consumes energy. But like time, there's a difference between temporal, physical, and spiritual. Physical things consume physical energy. Spiritual things consume spiritual energy. And there's an overlap. God calls you to do something, and it is going to require strength from your spirit to accomplish this. But it is not only going to be that energy that you're expending, because it's going to take physical exertion to implement the thing that God's called you to do. And so there's this mixture, like we had with time, where you have to understand God's called me to do this thing, but I also have to fuel my body as I fuel my spirit. And so today we're going to look at a story of a man who lives or lived in that overlap. Maybe you'll hear a bit of yourself in this story. And if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. We're going to look in Luke chapter 5. In my Bible, the heading here is called Jesus Calls the First Disciples. I want to read you this paragraph. It's about 10 verses. It says, on an occasion, while the crowd was pressing in to hear the word of God, Jesus was standing by the lake, and he saw two boats, but the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. So Jesus takes one of the boats. It says, getting in one of the boats, which was Simon's boat, Peter's boat, he asks him to put out a little bit from land. And he sits down and he teaches the people from the boat. And when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, Simon, put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. And Simon says, Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came, and they filled both of the boats so that the boats were so full they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who with him were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be catching men. And when they had brought everything from their boats to land, they left it all and followed him. There's a lot that happens in that little story. But I want you to notice this exchange that happens between Jesus and Peter. They call him, called Simon in this. So Jesus takes the boat out, and we get a little bit of backstory about what's been happening. They've been out all night trying to catch fish. Now, these aren't amateur fisher people. They're just having fun. This is their business. They're professional fishermen. They've been out all night. Have you ever worked all night? It's exhausting. It's now the next day. I don't know what time, it doesn't say, but it's the next day. They've been working all night. And when he comes up to them, it says that they were out cleaning their nets and everything, washing out their nets. So they're done. They've finished. They've given up. We're done. He pushes out. They go out in the boat. And after Jesus is done teaching, he just says, Hey, throw your net out one more time. And Peter says, Master, we've been working all night. It's like, maybe you don't understand. It's not like we haven't tried. We've been working at this for a long time. We've been doing this all night. And he kind of says, you know, do you know how long we've been trying to catch fish? And we've got nothing. They're exhausted. You can hear it in their voice, in their exchange a little. They're kind of frustrated. He says, we've toiled all night. And that word toiled, it means to work so that you have expended all of your energy. You're exhausted. He didn't just say we kind of, you know, played around all night and did. We worked. You ever seen a fisherman's net? They're heavy. Throwing a net out and dragging it back into the boat from the water, that's not like casting a fishing rod. It's heavy. It's work. And who knows how many times they had done this, waiting, hoping. Have you ever been there? I know I've been there. That place where you know how to do this. You know you can do it, but you've been trying and trying and trying. It's just not working. You've been working all of this, and you're at that point where you're like, I've been doing this all night. I know what I'm doing, but it just isn't, nothing's happening. And you're ready to give up. These guys were done. But then in steps Jesus. And he says, just try once more. I want you to notice what Peter says. He does tell him that they've been working all night. But he says, at your word, I'll let down the nets. Jesus basically says, just try once more. Don't give up. So they put in their nets. And in verse 9, it says that they are astonished at the catch of the fish they'd taken. I would imagine that it would take quite a lot to astonish a commercial fisherman. I would also imagine that it would take quite a lot of fish to break nets and sink boats. If you skip ahead to verse 11, we then see that they leave everything, it says, and follow Jesus. I love that because this was the big thing. It was all about the fish and the catching the fish. It was all about the work that they had done all night. It was all about that and about pulling in, and it's astonished, and he falls at Jesus' feet and they bring in the fish and everybody's astonished at the number of fish. And then they just walk away from the biggest catch they'd probably ever had, from all of their livelihood. What do we take away from that? It was never about the fish. We may have a lot of work that God's called us to in our life. We may have one thing or another thing that at different seasons he's called us to do. And it takes different energy, different talents. It might take money and time and all of these different things. But at the end of the day, it's not about any of that stuff. At the end of the day, it's about following Jesus. If you look, it's an interesting bookend parallel to this story. If you turn to John, we don't get it in Luke, but if you turn to the end of the book of John, last chapter, almost the last story, we see an almost parallel scenario. This time, though, Peter and some of the others are It gets the idea that they're doing it more for fun now than for real work. They go out, and they're out fishing, again in the boat. And it says, we pick it up in chapter 21, verse 3, and it says, they went out, they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Just as the day was breaking, Jesus comes and stands on the shore. And Jesus says to them in verse 5, children, do you have any fish? I love the answer. It's one word with a period. No. That's all they say. No. You can hear it, right? They're frustrated. They've been out all night. This time, maybe it was for commercial. It doesn't really say, but it kind of sounds like they're just on a whim. Let's go fishing. And they go out and go fishing. Did you catch anything? No. They're very frustrated about that. And so again, Jesus tells them, they don't know it's Jesus, but he says, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. And I'm sure they almost, I mean, it doesn't say, but I imagine there was a lot of eye rolling and groaning and, oh yeah, right, you know, to throw, right. Like it makes any difference that there are fish on one side versus the other side. And they cast it, and now they're not able to haul it in because of the whole quantity of fish. Now, I want you to notice something interesting that happens at the end. It says in verse 9 that they got out onto land. They brought all in the fish and bread. And they saw a charcoal fire was in place. Jesus is there. And he's got fish laid on the fire and bread. What I want you to notice is that Jesus asks them at the beginning, did you catch any fish? Like he wanted some. Jesus already had fish. He was already cooking it. It's not about the fish. Jesus already has the fish. He's already doing the things. He wants us to join with him in his work. He wants us to cast out the net and draw it in again. Sometimes we do that so many times and it seems more ridiculous the more times you do it. Sometimes he wants you and asks you to do things that you say, there's no point in this. This is completely pointless. It's not about the fish. It's about following hard after Jesus. It's about leaving all of the reward of whatever it is, about putting all of that away. The reward for their hard work was the fish that they caught, and they're willing to just set it all aside. It's about putting all of that away and saying, it's not about the fish. So at the beginning of Peter's walk with Jesus, we see Peter frustrated, and we see Jesus teach him this lesson. It's not about the fish. And then at the end, he needs a little rehearsal again of that story. What happened in the middle between these two stories? Peter followed Jesus everywhere he went. He listened to him. He talked to him. He did what he told him to do. He prayed for people. He went out and did all the hard work. He left everything he had and he followed hard after Jesus for all of these years. For 3 years, he follows hard after Jesus. And at the end, we're back where we started. Sometimes that happens. You're walking with the Lord. You're doing everything God told you to do. You're following hard after God day after day, year after year. And then you all of a sudden find yourself in the boat again and you haven't made any catch. You haven't found anything. And you say, I'm done with this. I quit. It's not worth it. I don't want to try another time. See, the enemy doesn't come to us. He doesn't play fair, right? The enemy doesn't come when we're full. The enemy doesn't come when the fuel that we've put in is powering us and we are strong and we're raring to go. That isn't when the enemy comes. The enemy waits until we've burned all that up and we're exhausted and we're done. And we're ready to quit. And he's just right there. Just ready to whisper in your ear whatever it is that you need to hear to say, it's okay. You can quit. Yeah, you gave it your best. You tried hard. It's fine. We see we see Jesus in the temptation after he's been in the desert and he's been fasting for 40 days. He's run out of fuel. He has no more food, no more stores in his body, and he's exhausted. We see Jesus in this moment when the devil then comes to tempt him. Notice he doesn't come at the beginning. He waits to the weakest point. The devil comes to tempt him, and what's the first thing he says? You need to refuel. Just turn these stones into bread. What does Jesus say? Quotes Deuteronomy. He says, it's written that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds from the mouth of God. And we see in that pronouncement those temporal and spiritual fuel overlap. We need bread. The scripture doesn't say man doesn't need bread. It says it's not only bread, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How did Peter renew his strength? What did Peter do to get the energy to cast that net one more time? He listened to that word. He listened to the word of the Lord. He said, just do it one more time. And he believed him. He trusted. And then he followed and he obeyed. And Peter, he says he toiled all night in his strength. But when Jesus asks him to do it, he finds this storehouse. This storehouse of resource that's available. There's a story in a part in Colossians where we read about Paul, who's been similarly working at something that God has put on his heart to do. But I want you to hear the language that he says. This is in Colossians 1:24. He says, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. In my flesh, I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, the church. He comes on down. And he says, we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And then in verse 29, he says, for this I toil. Same word. Struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Do you see how he phrases it? See, Peter worked hard all night in his strength. Paul says, for this I toil, struggling with all of God's energy, that he powerfully works within me. Ephesians tells us, he says it another way, he says, you have to stand strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord so that you can stand against the devil's evil schemes. Because we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with the powers and the principalities. What is he saying? The devil's going to come when you're weak. The lies come when you're the most used up. How do we refuel? We stay strong in the Lord. We need real food. We need real sustenance to fuel our bodies. And we need real words from God to fuel our spirits. So how do we renew our strength when we're exhausted? When we're ready to give in? When we feel like there is no more point in this? Let me just ask on a side note. I mean, what if Peter It's just a what if. What if Peter didn't catch any fish both times, all night long, specifically so that Jesus could demonstrate his power? Do you remember the story with the man that's born blind? And the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, why is this man? Who sinned, him or his parents?" And he says, "Well, neither. He was born blind so that you might see a demonstration of the kingdom of God and the glory of God in this man." Could it be that some of the times that we toil, that we work, that we throw the net over and over and catch nothing, specifically so that we can have that one more and see a demonstration of God's power like we've never seen before? It's not about the fish. It's about hearing the word of the Lord. If he has called you to do something, we learn in Isaiah. I'll just read it quickly to you here. It says that the Lord is everlasting and the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint. He doesn't grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So what do we hear there? He's got everything he needs. He's full up. He's already got fish. But it says in here that he gives power to the faint. To him that has no might, he increases strength. It says that even youths will be faint and weary. Young men will fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. How do they do it? By humbling themselves and waiting on the Lord. By taking the Sabbath seriously, by hearing that first commandment, that we need a rest. And by refueling again and again with the Word of God. Just like we have to pay attention for whatever job we're going to do, what kind of fuel you put in your car, what you put in a jet, it matters because of what it takes to accomplish that. We have to pay attention to what we're putting in our body because it's what's going to get us to that point that God wants us to be at. It does not in any way guarantee that everything will always work out perfectly and we'll catch fish every time we throw the net. But it means when God comes and says, "Just try it one more." We've heard from him enough times. We've seen how he works. We've read the demonstrations of his power and we are saying, "Yes, Lord." We need to power ourselves enough to do what God's called us to do. Jesus says, "Come to me, those who are weary, and I'll give you rest." What does he mean by not having to work anymore? No, it's not what it says. By letting Jesus do all of the work while we watch? Also not what it says. But it's by letting him guide you. By letting him shoulder the burden with you. By letting him say, "Cast your net one more time." Encouraging. Just that extra push that we need. That we do it in his strength and not in our own. I mean, when we look at Peter, and we just pray, "God, give me the energy to finish what I started." I mean, isn't that what happened? They went out there to catch fish. They caught no fish. And they're ready to quit. Give me the energy to finish what I started. The strength to run the race. The faith to know that he that began a good work in you is going to see it through to completion. I don't know where you are on your journey. I sometimes don't know where I am on my journey. But I do know that the God that called you to this task is going to be the one that's going to see you through that task. And so I want to close by just praying over you a blessing that we find by Paul in Colossians. That same chapter, but earlier in verse 11. Paul says these words, "May you be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Would you just pray with me? I'm going to pray that over you one more time. Father, as we come before you today, knowing that we are, as we speak, as we listen, we are using up physical energy. Lord, there are some here today that are trying to live lives that are jet fuel, need jet fuel, and we're running on fumes. There are some here who you've called them to do something, and they just say, "I don't have the energy, I don't have the time, I can't do this." And there are some that have been following you hard for years and years, and are now, they're out of the boat and washing their nets, and they're, "I'm done." Lord, would you give them the strength to finish what they started, what you started? And for all of us, would you let us, Lord, just remember, it isn't about the fish. It's about you, what you gave us to do. Lord, I pray for encouragement for those that are listening now, for those that are here, for those that feel like, I don't know how I'm going to make it even one more day in this. I pray that you would strengthen them. For those that feel like maybe I misheard God, maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing, that I've made a bad choice here, that you would reinvest in them, encourage them to know this is what you've called them to do. Lord, I just want to pray your word. May you hear, you that are listening, may you be strengthened with all power. Lord, no restriction on your power. You didn't say, "I'm going to portion it out." Lord, you said, "Everybody is the same. We all get all of the power from you so that we can do the things that you've called us to do." May you be strengthened with all power according to his, God, your glorious might, for the purpose of endurance, patience, and with joy. May it overflow, God, and may it lead to just thankful praise to you, Father, who's qualified each one of us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Lord, forgive us for where we've tried to quit. Forgive us for where we've been weak, for where we've tried to do it in our strength, and where we haven't believed you when you've said, "Just try one more time." Strengthen us to follow you, God. Give us energy and fuel us according to your word and your Holy Spirit. Bless your people, God, and fill them with your righteousness and your truth. It's in the holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.